welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
I don't remember the exact age that this happened, but I have always remembered the conversation. I came out of my bedroom, walked down the hallway, and came out in the living room, and my mom was there. And like most of those exchanges, it began with this. I said, "Mom, I'm hungry. Make me something to eat." And typically, mom would get up, she'd go, and she'd prepare something for me, as good moms do. But this occasion marked kind of a change in the expectations of me in the household and in our interaction together, as my mom looked at me and said, "Go make yourself a sandwich." Moms, maybe you've been at that point. That statement marked a change in our relationship. I had never been entrusted with that responsibility to that point. And maybe you've done that prematurely with your children. You've told them to go help themselves, and then they created a greater mess than you had anticipated. But there was something that happened there where all of the sudden there was both permission and expectation for me to begin to tend to some of my own basic needs. And from that point on, there were a lot of occasions where I would make my own sandwich, where I would pick my own snack, where I would begin to take kind of some baby steps forward into those things. And we've been in a series called The Marks of Maturity. We've been looking at what it really looks like to be mature men of God or women of God, what it looks like to be mature in the kingdom of God. And up until this point, we've talked a lot about kind of characteristics and ways of carrying ourselves and ways that we demonstrate the work of Christ in us. And today we're going to start looking at really some practical basic steps that should accompany that type of growth. Because as you grow and as you mature, there are activities that accompany stages of growth and maturity. And so there was a point in my life where I could take care of some of my own basic needs, and my mom let me know in no uncertain terms that that was the expectation: go take care of it yourself. And so there's some activities that need to go hand in hand with growth and maturity stages, and oftentimes competencies that are intended to be developed. And my first attempt at sandwiches, I got the bread together and there was something in between, but it didn't look as clean as a sandwich that I can make now after years of experience and practice. And so I've grown in that competency. But when there is stages of growth and maturity that we go through, there's competencies that need to be developed and activities that go along with that. And what is true of just kind of raising a child and tending to some of those basic needs is the same thing that you and I are meant to kind of progress through when it comes to our faith in Christ and our journey with Jesus, that we are to grow and to mature into the men and women of God that God has designed us to be. And when those things are missing, when they're absent, they're a little indicator that there's something wrong. There's a little indicator that there's still some immaturity in that place. But we all start kind of in the same basic beginning point. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as Peter is writing to the church at large, he talks about kind of the initial starting point that we have in our journey of faith. And he says this. He says, "Like newborn babies, you should crave pure spiritual milk," that there should be an innocence, that there should be a desire to be nurtured by the things of God, that there should be almost a craving in us for those things, so that you may grow up in your salvation. That there's this process of growth and maturity that begins in the pure and simple things of understanding who Christ is and how his Spirit is at work in us, that should begin to develop a growth process that we grow and mature into the men and women of God that we have been designed to be. And unfortunately, many of us go through seasons or maybe moments where we choose more of a spiritual path of Peter Pan's and are reluctant to grow up, maybe in every area or maybe in just some areas. And so we're going to look this morning at three competencies, three kind of like basic things that we need to begin to cultivate and create competency and mastery of in our lives if we are going to actually move forward into the things that God has for us. Sometimes there is a desire in us for the plans and purposes of God that are tardy in being expressed in our life because we're actually not ready for them yet. And I want to just push on that for a little bit, because I've talked to many people in years of ministry who have had a desire on their heart to serve God in one way or another, who haven't done anything to develop themselves to be useful in that arena. They've just kind of sat and waited for God to quote unquote open doors, but they're not ready. I've talked to men who have said, man, I really feel like I have been called to be a pastor, but they haven't spent any time studying the word of God, and they've developed no competency in speaking in front of other people. They just somehow think they're going to get a phone call and magically step into those things. The same thing can be true of somebody who has a call for worship or youth ministry or things like that. There are basic competencies that you should have if you're going to move into any of those types of arenas and everything else. If God's called you to be somebody who gives encouragement and counseling, maybe you should pursue some growth and some education in that arena as well. And so we're going to look at three basic starting points that every believer should have these three things really in their eyesight and be attending to if they're going to grow and mature into the things of God. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get that out. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you would speak to us through your word today. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see where and how you would lead us. Lord, give us a sensitivity to the leading of your Holy Spirit and a courage to take steps. And Lord, give us a humility to be searched by you. And Lord, in places in us where there is a lack of maturity, give us a desire to grow so that we can be useful for you and participate in all that you have designed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Your Bible's out. You can go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 5. The text that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to spend all of our time there, and we're going to be picking up in verse 11 in just a moment. The writer of Hebrews goes into a number of different kind of teachings. There's a lot of deep theology in the book, and as he's kind of progressing through, he gets to chapter 5, and he kind of backcasts and says, hey, there's something that I see in the people of God as a whole that needs to be addressed and brought to attention. And it has to do with an immaturity that was being expressed kind of as an overarching characteristic of the church at that time. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, it reads this way. It says, we have much to say about this, or I've got a lot more. Me and my colleagues have a lot more to teach you, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Some translations will say because you are slow to learn, but that somehow makes it sound as if they are incapable of learning, that they have some type of hurdle to overcome. But it's more aptly understood as there's just not really a desire there. In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, if you remember, we started with Peter, and Peter said, hey, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. And that's where you start. But listen to me, you don't stay there. That's not where you're intended to stay. You're not intended to be spiritual infants when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. There is an expectation and an invitation to partner with the Lord in a way that you grow and mature, that you get to participate in the things that God is doing and in the design that he has for your life and the way that you would experience and interact with the world around you. And so the writer of Hebrews, he's just calling them out and saying, hey, you had the right starting point, but you haven't progressed. You've stayed stuck. Anyone who lives on milk, verse 13, being still an infant is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. And so the writer of Hebrews kind of gives us a comparison and a contrast between kind of being stuck as an infant or moving into maturity. And there are three competencies in here that are highlighted that we need to attend to if we're going to grow. And the first one is to have a desire to grow. If you're a note taker, write that down, kind of put that aside. Maybe you would journal on that later on this week, but a desire to grow. Look at verse 11 again. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you." It's hard to get the message through. You're not grasping it. You won't understand because you no longer try to understand. There is a need for every Christ follower to develop a desire in them to continue to learn and to grow. That's part of the process. And unfortunately, we tend to toggle onto two extremes. One is we'll come to faith in Christ and then have no desire to grow or learn after that point. We're just happy that we're not going to hell. Or we'll put ourselves into some effort of learning and knowing some facts and get to a place where we believe that we know enough and like tap out, I'm done. And the difference between learning and becoming somebody who is growing and versus somebody who's just knowing really has a lot to do with the desire to grow. And it's going to be expressed in two ways, and I'm just going to flip the phrase in two different directions for you this morning. But in this idea of having a desire to grow and move into maturity that the audience in Hebrews does not have at that point and are being called out on, one is that we need to grow to learn. We need to grow to learn. Write that phrase down. I'll unpack that for you. And what I mean by grow to learn is this. There is a difference between becoming a learner and just amassing facts and being a knower. You can know a lot of stuff and not do anything with it. In fact, you can know a lot of stuff and not have any of the competency to act on it. That we need to grow to learn, becoming somebody who doesn't just know facts, but somebody who knows how to act on the things of the kingdom of God. That we would be aligned with the teaching of God's word. I know a lot of people who can quote me verses from scripture that it doesn't look like they know how to live their life by. And maybe you've been in that place as well and just struggled with some of the simpler verses like love your neighbor as yourself. And you're like, I love that for this neighbor, but the dude on this side keeps throwing his leaves over the fence into my yard. And I don't have any, but like that's a hard person for me to love, you know? And that's the brass tacks. Like you can know a scripture, but can you live it out? There's a difference between being a knower and being somebody who has learned to move into interacting with the word of God in a way that impacts the world around them. So we've got to grow to learn. And there's really almost competencies to be developed in that. The way that you teach and learn a little child and somebody when you go back maybe to school and you're doing adult learning, it's a different technique. It's a different way to go about those things. There's whole fields of study that talk about the best approaches for those because there is a difference. You and I need to grow into being learners that can put into practice the things of God. But then the other side, you can just turn it around. We also need to learn to grow. We need to learn to grow. And by that, I mean this. We have to have a high value to continue to learn throughout our lifetime. We should be lifelong learners in a sense, especially when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. And if you talk to anybody who has walked with Jesus for a long time and who has continued to kind of grow and mature, people that you would look at as kind of sages to speak the wisdom of God into your life, you would hear about their journey. You would hear about the new and surprising things that they're learning about themselves in relation to the Lord that even they've learned recently, not just hearkening back to years prior and, oh, I learned that lesson and I've never had to learn anything else. As a result, there's this continuous process in learning and growing. There's a movement forward when we're going to mature. And it's important to recognize that the desire to grow that's being kind of highlighted here is not just a first step, okay, but it's a foundation. It's not a first step. See, when we think sequentially, If you say, okay, I'm going to start as somebody who has spiritual milk, and then I'm going to move on to whatever's next. If we think of the idea of having a desire to grow as the first step, as soon as we feel like we've grown a little bit, we'll just abandon that, won't we? Right? I've moved on to step two. I don't need step one anymore. If you're going through a sequence of order on putting together some IKEA furniture, once you get past one, you shouldn't have to go back to it. Right? You just move forward. Now, if you didn't do it right, you get to circle back. That's never happened to me because I'm super competent when it comes to those things. But some of you, I mean, have probably struggled a lot. And those who are wise who have avoided going to IKEA and buying furniture that you have to put together yourself. I mean, you know, we can progress a little bit further than that. But that first step of having a desire to grow, it's not something that, okay, I desire to grow now, and now I'm mature, I don't have to grow anymore. It's actually the foundation step of growth and maturity. You should have to revisit it. We've got a woman in our church who for a number of years has been doing prison ministry. She's been going to the women's cell blocks in a number of prisons in the Denver and Front Range area, and she's volunteered her time and has done a number of different ministry-related activities within those confines. But there's a growing desire in her to do more. And what she has found is that in order to have greater access or influence within the system, there needs to be kind of some credentialing and some covering that goes along with that. And so she has gone back to school and she's pursuing her degree. She's entered into a process with Foursquare to be a Foursquare chaplain. And she's pursuing those things because there's a desire in her for more of what God has birthed in her heart to be a part of. And she recognizes to get there, she has to grow. She has to learn. There's some things that she needs to have as competencies. There's some things that need to be developed. And there's some credentials that act as keys to get into further places of influence in ministry. And so she's pursuing those things. A lifelong learner will do that. Somebody who has a desire to grow as a foundation of their person will see, hey, I can see where God wants to get me, and I'm not capable or competent enough to get there yet, so I'm going to develop so that I can be useful for God when he gets me to that place. And so we have to have a desire to grow. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you don't have that desire anymore. You no longer try to understand. You got the basic kind of competencies or understanding. You've got the spiritual milk and you've just kind of tapped out. And that desire to grow is something that's really important to keep with us. Because there is something lamentable about people who have gone to church for a long time who haven't grown. Like there's something lamentable when you can look at somebody who has said, I've attended this church for 20 years, but you don't actually see any spiritual fruit in their life. And it is possible for you and I to engage in kind of a cycle of spiritual development where we have gone through first grade 20 times instead of progressed through 20 years. And the desire that God would have for you and I is that we would grow and that we would have a desire to do that we would move forward in the things of God. The second thing that you have, so you got this desire to grow, that's something that we have to have in us if we're going to grow and mature. If you haven't been interested in that, that's going to be something that God is going to want to foster in you. And if you haven't done that for a while because you think that you have arrived, that is something that God is going to want to address in you. He's going to want you to move forward. But the second thing, and this will actually help foster this, is we have a desire to grow and we need to teach what we know. Teach what we know. You can go ahead and write that down. In verse 12, right, as he's bringing this comparison and contrast, he says, in fact, by this time, you should be teachers, right? You shouldn't even be learning anymore. You should be stepping into a role where you are bringing others along, where you are teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. The comparison and the contrast is that those who have grown in maturity in the things of God have a desire to continue to grow and learn, and they are engaged in actively teaching others what they know. That for you and I to develop into the men of God, women of God that we're called to be competent and ready to be engaged in the design that God has for our lives, that we have to have a desire to grow, but we also need to teach what we know. There's a French scholar, writer, and moralist named Joseph Joubert, and he is credited with this statement that I love. It's one of my favorite ones when it comes to the idea of continuing to learn and to grow. He says, to teach is to learn twice. To teach is to learn twice. And what is meant by that statement is this, that you can know something or think that you do, but you actually have a greater mastery of a subject or an issue if you can convey it to somebody else in a way that they understand. So think about it this way, all right? Show of hands, how many of you guys can tie your shoes? Okay, and I know which ones can't because you've got slip-ons and you've got Velcro. So I mean, right away, I'm gonna know some things about you. But I mean, like, we can probably all tie our shoes. I won't single you out if you can't. But have you ever tried to teach a kid to tie their shoes? Like when we sat down with our kids and it was like, hey, it's time for you to learn how to tie your shoes because I'm tired of doing this for you, right? And we moved past the Velcro stage and we're getting into that stage where they have to wear real shoes, right? They have to be dressed when you take them out of the house, all of those things, right? Puts the pressure on the parents. But I remember sitting down and trying to teach my kids to tie the shoe. And you know what? I couldn't do it. Even with the song with the rabbit runs around the tree or whatever that thing is, I couldn't even remember that thing right. I just know how to tie my shoes looking at it this way, that trying to even tie my kids' shoes the other direction was a little bit challenging. My wife, Beth, had to teach our kids to tie their shoes because I didn't have a full enough grasp or understanding of even what I was doing. I knew it intuitively. I knew how to do it. I can tie my shoes. I slipped these on, let's be honest, but I tied them the first time. Got it right. But if you're gonna teach somebody something, if you're gonna break it down, you're gonna make it simple, you're gonna bring them along, you actually have to have a greater mastery and understanding of that. And so we to teach what we know develops in us this awareness that we need to keep growing so that we have a better, simpler understanding. We can take something complex and we can make it simple, and then we can give it to somebody else and help them make it complex. And man, let's be honest, there's a lot of things about the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things about scripture. There's a lot of things about following Jesus that, man, they get really complicated, don't they? And then they get really, really simple as well. And teaching what we know can help us grow. It helps to foster a learning in us. And sometimes that idea of needing to really know something keeps us from sharing what we do know. And so I do want to give voice and I want to speak to the other side. Listen to me, you all know something, and whatever you do know, you can share with somebody else. So you don't have to have a PhD in tying your shoes to be able to know that you're going to have to make the bunny ears. And you can at least show somebody that simple point and kind of move on from there. You can share with someone else what you know. And the things that you don't, you can continue to learn and growing. You may not know much, but you do know something. One of my favorite narratives in the Gospel of John has to do with a man who was blind that Jesus healed. He didn't actually ever see Jesus or know what he looked like because of how the exchange went in the narrative. And it was such a disruptive healing that people were looking into it. There was a public inquiry. His parents were brought in and questioned. The religious leaders were all over this. And as they're pushing and prodding and asking these theological questions and these kind of social questions and trying to get this man to somehow give information that he doesn't have, he's being pressed. And at one point he says, listen to me, I don't know anything about any of that. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. And everybody else knows I was blind and now I can see. It was the one thing that he knew for sure. And it was enough for his testimony to share with others. Listen to me. You may not know everything, but you do know something. You know what the Lord has done. You know the places that you struggle. You know the promises that have been found true. You know the places that you have wrestled. Like, there, you know some things. And you can begin with that point. We had a young man about 5 or 6 weeks ago walk straight in off the street. walked in off the street on a Wednesday, came in and said, my life is super jacked up, and I know that I've needed God in it, and I need to talk to somebody. And in the span of just 10 or 20 minutes, our front office manager led him to faith in Christ. And after that point, he began coming to service. He began learning a little bit more. He began participating. He spent time at the prayer station. Like, God's doing a deep work in him. And listen to me, he doesn't know very much, but he does know something. He knows that when he was looking for the Lord, that he found him. And he can share that with anybody and everybody. And they may be able to say, yeah, but what about this and what about that? I don't know anything about that. But what I do know is this, that I met Jesus and he changed my life. Listen to me, just teach what you know. Don't be intimidated by the things that you don't. Teach what you know and allow the Lord to use you in that. And if you'll begin to take those steps, you'll begin to grow in your ability to articulate what God is doing in you, but it'll create a process where you're actually thinking and developing and understanding that. It'll foster an encouragement to continue to have a desire to grow. And you know what? You'll start seeing growth and maturity develop in you if you'll take those two steps. Desire to grow, teach what you know. And then the third one is this, and we're going to find it in verse 14. So as the writer in Hebrews gives us this comparison contrast, right? Here's what it looks like to be an infant in the things of the kingdom of God, an infant in following Christ. Here's what it looks like to be mature. He gets to verse 14 and he says, but solid food is for the mature. But solid food is for the mature. And there's this contrast, right, between milk, like simple spirituality, and like deep, meaty things of God. Right? Isn't that how we read it? Isn't that how we think about it? Most of us do. But I'm going to push on this one a little bit. I'm probably going to step on toes this morning. Solid food is for the mature. Look at the next part of the verse. Who by constant use, this is so important, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, there needs to be, every believer should have a desire to grow, a willingness to teach what they know. But the third thing, and this is so important, if you are going to grow into the person that God has designed you to be, you have to take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. You have to take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. So many of us have never had a parental voice in our life that, when it comes to spiritual things, has said, go make yourself a sandwich. We've been able to go and find places or people or ministries or churches, individuals to continue to spoon feed us. And we wonder why there's an area in our life that maybe we're not growing or maturing or developing, that we always seem to be stunted in that area of faith. And the truth is that we haven't taken responsibility to grow in that area for ourselves. There is a place where each one of you, where each one of us has to take a step to be responsible for our spiritual growth and well-being. We have to at least have the basic competency to go make ourselves a sandwich. You don't have to become a chef, but you should be able to make a sandwich. And I push on this because I've heard this verse used as an excuse time and time again for people to voice dissatisfaction of others. So in over 20 years of ministry, I've heard people who have said, well, I'm not listening to that pastor, or I'm not going to that church, or I'm not engaged in that ministry anymore because they're just milk and I need meat. I have sat with my pastor friends in this community, and we've all swapped people who have left our churches for our friends' churches because somehow that person's style or way of going about delivering the things of the Word of God, somehow that's more mature than the other. And we sit in a group and just marvel at that kind of inconsistency. Listen to me. Every message you have ever heard, whether they have a national platform, whether they have a specific styling, or whether it's in a Bible study setting, every message that you have ever heard has already been pre-prepared for you. It doesn't matter what it is. It's already pre-chewed. Somebody else did the work. Somebody else did the listening to hear from God on your behalf. And there's great value in that. And certainly there are things that are more palatable to us depending on where we are in our spiritual development and things that we need. And I wouldn't suggest to you that they don't have import. They are. They're so important. But you have to be able, I have to be able to make ourselves a sandwich. We have to take responsibility for our spiritual growth and our personal relationship with Christ. We have to take responsibility for that. Someone else has already done the work of any other message, any other teaching, any other program that you and I have sat through. And I have pastors and colleagues and mentors in my life, and I listen to their messages and I seek out their wisdom. That's needed because I need to learn, right? That's part of having a desire to grow. You should have that, but you should also cultivate in yourself the basic competencies of caring for your own spiritual growth. So you don't have to be a 5-course Michelin star chef, but you should be able to make yourself a sandwich. And there are so many other disciplines that are like that. When I was 17 years old, my mom said, "Hey, I've got something in the garage to show you. Come out here and check this out." And I, you know, thought it was a surprise. I thought I was going to be gifted. And what she did is she gifted me with a life skill as she showed me how to use the washer and the dryer and said, "You're almost 18. You're going to be out of the house pretty soon. You should probably learn how to wash your clothes, and I'm done doing that for you." It was another competency that needed to be developed in me if I was going to mature and grow. And there are so many things like that in the things of the kingdom of God for you and I. Prayer, worship, time in God's word, fasting, generosity. Those are all basic spiritual life skills that you and I should be growing in. Yeah, you may not ever master them to the degree that some theologian or somebody who has a specific spiritual gift mix might be able to express them in your lives, but you should all be able to do that. I should be able to do that for myself. And so let's think about prayer as just an example. If when you have a burden on your heart, you ask everyone else to pray for it, but you won't pray for it yourself, that should be a little red flag. Make yourself a sandwich. When it comes to dealing with kind of an environment, maybe you're in your car, in your home, and you're feeling heavy, and you put on worship music, like that's something that I do. Like, oh man, I love worship music. But if all you ever do is listen to other people worship, but you don't offer worship yourself, that should be a little flag. Make yourself a sandwich. Yeah, you don't have to come out with a full-length CD that ushers in the presence of God in everybody else's place, but you should be able to squeeze out a few lines to give honor to the Lord and to lift your heart to him as an offering in worship. Like, you don't have to be the best to give your best. Make yourself a sandwich. When it comes to reading and studying God's word, that can be an intimidating thing. There's all kinds of things that can make that a little bit difficult. But just because you're not going to be a theologian doesn't mean that you can't read God's words for yourself. And listen to me, anything that you can get in you as far as God's word, the Holy Spirit can get out of you in your daily life. Whatever you put in, the Holy Spirit can get out, and he can make it apply to your life, and he can do that this week. Make yourself a sandwich. Out at the connections counter, we have life journals. On our website, there's the method of Bible study called SOAP, and it kind of walks you through just some basic ways to do that. We have square classes. We have connect groups. We have all kinds of things that we do as a church to offer you, but that's not to spoon feed you. That's not to spoon feed me. It's to give us a variety of tools that we can develop and we can learn to kind of take steps forward. And I can tell you that as soon as you begin to take steps in whatever area of spiritual growth that is needed, and you begin to see how you can do that on your own with Jesus, can I tell you, listen to me, you will come alive. There will be a hunger that is birthed in you, and you won't be able to help but to tell others about what God is doing in your life. And you will begin to see a snowball effect of maturity and growth and fruitfulness that comes as a result of this. But we all have to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And so the marks of maturity, basic competencies, right? If this is making a sandwich and if this is washing your clothes, we need to have a desire to grow. And if that's not in you, start with that. Lord, give me a desire to grow. Help me to have the humility to ask for help and to learn, because maybe I've been trying to fake it up to this point. Or Lord, I've been intimidated. Lead me with forward in a desire to grow. Maybe you need to teach what you know this week. And maybe you don't know very much. That's okay. Somebody knows less than you. Teach them what you know. And then once they're even with you, go learn from somebody else together. That's part of that process of continuing to grow. But we all have to take responsibility for our spiritual growth to move into being developed into the things that God has for us. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Worship team, if you would come back forward. Church family, for just the next couple of minutes, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Just kind of close out the distractions around you. And I just want you to think about you. What about you this morning? You know, are there some places in you and just kind of these basic competencies that you need to grow a little bit? You know, maybe for you, you haven't had the desire to grow. You know, you've been content to just know that you're saved and not going to hell, and that's kind of good enough, but you're being pressed by the Lord this morning to not just know some simple things, but to begin to learn, to begin to develop, to begin to grow. You can maybe see some things that God has birthed in your heart as a dream, a design for your life, and you're recognizing, man, I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe you need a desire to grow. Many of us might be in the place this morning where we're growing, where God's doing stuff in us, but we're really reluctant to share that with anybody else. We're not teaching what we know. We're intimidated because we don't feel like we know enough. Or we feel like we're still in process and learning. Maybe you need the Lord to do something courageous in you today where you would just be willing to share maybe the simple things that you do know. And share even some of your uncertainties, being honest with your friends and your family as you grow together. Or maybe you're in the place where you've had an expectation that others take care of you when it comes to your spirituality. You're always leaning into others to pray for the issues in your life, but you're never going to the Lord in conversation with Him. Your heart, your desires to worship, and you listen to that intently, but you haven't actually offered the fruit of your own lips towards that. You've been embarrassed or you felt inadequate. Maybe you're feeding yourself with so many messages. You're listening to so many leaders and pastors, and there's an excitement building in you, but you're never in God's word just with you and Him. You're not doing that for yourself. Maybe you need to begin to make yourself a sandwich in that way. Lord, each of us are in different places in our growth and development. In some areas of our life, we may see fruit and growth. In other areas, Lord, we may be a little bit stuck. And Jesus, we come to you and acknowledge that it's not our effort or our strength that somehow creates movement in those areas, but it's yielding to your invitation and to your Spirit at work in us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do this. Lord, for our hearts that need a desire to grow, would you do that in us today? Would you give us a hunger for the things of your kingdom? Lord, for hearts that need a courage to speak what they know, to teach what they know, Lord, would you give us a boldness and lead us by your Spirit to be confident when we share with others? And Lord, for hearts that need to take responsibility, Lord, would you awaken that truth in us, that need in us, and give us a desire to respond? Lord, we ask that you would use us this week to impact lives around us, but we know that we have to allow you to do that work in us first. So we invite that holy work by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Action steps for this week. If you got a smartphone or a tablet, you can snap a picture. You can start with prayer. Pray for a desire to spiritually learn and grow. If you don't pray for that, it's probably not going to just happen because you're curious. Number two, choose one spiritual discipline to grow in this week. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's worship. Maybe it's time in the Word. Maybe it's sharing your faith. And then number three, take time to share the little that you do know with someone else. Encourage them with what you're